Welcome to the Audible Ecstasy Podcast. Each week we sit around and discuss the music from our past. Sometimes we agree.
I call it iconic. It's a 10. That riff is it's incredible.
Clearly a 10. This is one of the most iconic songs of the 80s.
Iconic from start to finish.
And sometimes we disagree.
The song sounds like something you might hear at your aunt's funeral.
The absolute worst lyrics ever.
With the juvenile flush on that one, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not dealing with that crap.
Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
All right, guys, we are back with another Audible Ecstasy podcast this week. It's my pick, and it was a little change up what we had planned. It's Ghost, Impera. Guys, you guys ready to do this?
I'm ready. Anthony, tell me you got a
catch. I actually don't. How about this one? Through the spillways of podcasting, it's the Audible Ecstasy podcast.
Love it.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's off the top of my head right there. See how good that
really?
Is?
No, top
dude,
head.
No kidding. Yeah. Oh, man. It's sounded professional and planned. I like that. That's good. That's why you make the big bucks over here, buddy. Come on now.
I wish.
All right. Well, let's get this album started. It came out last year. We're going to start it off. And this week, that there is three instrumental tracks on this, which we're not going to really rate those. We're just going to kind of throw those out there. So the first track is an instrumental. It's called Imperium, but the second track is the first song that is actually a song. It is Caserion. Hit it, Chris. Okay. So I will say this, the instrumental that flows into this song is a great little opening to prepare you for what's getting ready to happen. And as that instrumental breaks down, this song opens up with a scream, which we didn't really encompass that in the sample we threw out, but I do love how it starts with that scream. Lyrically, a very dark song, but man, musically, it's a fantastic tune. Very catchy, and seeing this live was an absolute fantastic experience. The solo, and this is going to be right up your alley, Anthony, I found this to be a Rush-inspired solo.
I can hear that.
And I could hear that for sure. And a Ghost appear to wear that inspiration on their sleeve throughout this album, because there's a lot of progressive elements to
the
music.
I hear a lot of Rush in this album when I listen to it.
Yeah, for sure. I will say that the song
bite
works.
Me, Chris.
The song works. Chris can kiss some heinies. The song works. It really has grown on me since this album has been released. I found the song to be outstanding. I'm at a 9. Chris, what'd you think about Caserion?
Yeah, you're right. You know, when we saw them, Jimmy, there back in the last September, I guess, this was the song they opened to. And actually the intro played as well. And then, you know, just like everything went black and you saw like a spotlight come on and the guitarists come out there playing. A lot of like pyrotechnics even in that one, you know, like explosions going on everywhere.
Oh yeah.
I do the harmonizing guitars, man. You know, we were talking off camera or off microphone, what have you, earlier this week, and I guess they got the guy from Opeth to be the lead guitarist for this album when they recorded it.
Yeah,
is that right?
Right, that's correct. Yeah.
And my God, it's just amazing. This guy sounds so good. I mean, his tone. These harmonizing guitars that soar over these tracks, just tremendous. And you get that on this. I think I don't know if you want to call him Papa or Tobias or what have you. He vocally, he sounds fantastic, man. He really does. Very clean, vocals on his front, and just like the harmonies these guys have, not so much on this song, some more songs than this one harmony wise, but it's just a great song. And I like that breakdown in the middle too, that, you know, the way they just kind of like changes directions. They do that a lot on their music, and I love it when bands do that. I'm not quite as high as you. I gave it an 8. I think it's an excellent way to start the album, so that's where I am.
Fair enough. I want to go ahead and give props to the guitarist that did the recording on this album. His name is Frederick Akeson, and he is an absolute beast of a guitarist, as Chris was describing. So I want to make sure that we give him the props. I mean, this guy's our age.
Is Opeth, sorry about that, is Opeth still together?
They are. They still together.
He
they
just
still tour.
Guested on this album, or
he's just a recording. He records with them on this. He is no longer now. Akeson is no longer with Opeth, I don't believe.
Okay.
I think that he's been replaced with somebody else. However, he was with them until at least till 19. He may still be with them, but I don't know. I haven't seen anything about Opeth in the past couple of years. But yeah, man, he is. I mean, he's been doing stuff forever. I mean, I looked at his history here, and he did, you know, he did an Arch Enemy tour with those guys,
as
a live guitarist. A band called Tiamat, which is some kind of black metal, progressive metal band from over in Europe. They're decent. They're nothing. They're not my thing. Right. And a band called Crux. I'm not familiar with them, but nonetheless, the guy's an outstanding guitarist, and I enjoy. Of course, I enjoy Opeth, but yeah, man, fantastic stuff. All right, Anthony, go ahead and continue. Sorry for the rant.
It's okay. I listened to Opeth a little bit in the past. I think they got a female vocalist, right?
No. Michael Eckerfeld's over.
Who
vocalist.
Am I thinking about the female?
That's Arch Enemy.
Arch Enemy?
Female vocalist, Arch Enemy.
Okay. Yeah. I thought one of those bands like Opeth had a female vocalist. Okay. Yeah. Anyways, Imperium, like you said, Jimmy, I think it's a nice lead into the album. You know, Agreed. It's got a heavy sound. I like the heavy sound of the guitar and drums. Very ominous. Caserion, I mean, I love how this one comes in with that guitar and that old school sounding scream from Tobias. It's something you don't kind of expect from Ghost. They're kind of a little throwback there, I think. Then after that, we're treated to a song that absolutely rocks from start to finish. Like the sound of the guitars, the drums, the vocals, of course. It's a killer tune. I gave it an 8. I think it's excellent, too.
Fair enough.
So, anyways. But yeah, like you, it's musically, it's awesome. Don't read the lyrics.
dark lyrics.
Yeah. Most of this stuff.
Yeah, pretty much anything on this album. But it's all right, man. You know, it's all what you think. You know what I mean? All right, let's go to track 3. It's called Spillways. Hit it, Chris. Say pianos and keyboards, y'all know what's coming up. Typically not my bag. It's my nemesis when it comes to hard rock and metal. And I will say this, the only reason why we're actually reviewing this album, at least this earlier this time, is because of the suggestion from Anthony by leading me to a Joe Elliott from Def Leppard video, or a song I should say. And then I went crazy over it for a complete day and just said, heck, we're doing this album nonetheless. This is absolutely a fantastic song. It rocks. It's easy to get into, easy to sing along with. Typically, like I said, I complain about the keyboards and piano, but man, it works on this album. It works on this song, I should say. Vocals on point. Tobias's vocals are absolutely, or Papa, absolutely fantastic on this song. I mean, the riff carries this song through pop excellence. I mean, it's going to sound like a broken record at this point, I would dare say the future will bring this song to a higher rating, because this song has a chance to be something that is iconic for Ghost later on down the road, or even pop perfect or metal or hard rock perfection. I'm at a 9. I think this song is absolutely outstanding, and you wouldn't have to punch me in the gut to get to go any higher, but I didn't feel like, and I, full disclosure, there's not going to be any 10s on this record because this record's a year old and hasn't had time to stand the test of time, in my opinion. Sometimes a song grabs you. This song grabs you. Chris, what'd you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's not my favorite song on the album. It's probably my second favorite song on the album.
Yeah.
It is more pop than rock as far as that goes. I feel like it's funny that Joe Elliott guested on this, because there are times, and I never really knew how to verbalize it until that point, but I think they kind of remind me of Def Leppard sometimes. They have these, like a modern day version of Def Leppard anyway.
Sure,
They have these soaring like vocals with harmonies that are Def Leppard-esque, really. And I think Tobias, he can hit those notes like Joe Elliott could back in the day. So,
you know, they're sort of the mirror version of Leppard. You know, Leppard's more light, they're more dark, but they got that sort of sound. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like
that.
Definitely.
That makes sense. Yeah, for sure.
You know, the guitar solo in this song is fantastic, but it feels almost like 80s glam kind of music, really. I mean, I will say, it's a solid groove throughout this song. I love everything about it. I agree with you, Jimmy. I don't have any tens tonight either, just because this album's not been around long enough, even though technically, it's more a perfection thing now than it is an iconic thing.
Correct.
Still, I gave it a 9 as well. I think it's an outstanding song.
All right. Anthony, talk to us. Spillways. Yeah,
another solid tune that just simply works from the opening chord to the last. Tobias sounds amazing. Really like the way it ebbs and flows. Chorus is catchy. And the music in the background, I thought, is so hooky, if that's the right word. It's almost got, you almost hum along to it. It's got such a nice hook to it, you know, when you're listening to it.
Right.
I love the way the piano kind of mixes into the mix all the way through, the piano, keyboard, whatever that is. I like the way they play that in there. And when Joe Elliott duets on this song, it's just as good, if not better. It's a 9 for me. It's outstanding, too. So, you know, no complaints. Honestly. Yeah.
And I have to say, it was so seamless, the remix they did with Joe Elliott, that I couldn't even tell where one of them started and one of them ended.
Well,
I
mean, now, if Joe was a much younger man, I think you could tell, but
his vocals have just changed that style.
They're so down, lower range these days.
It's amazing. For those who haven't listened to it, search Spillways up on iTunes or Apple Music or Spotify or even YouTube. Look that up, and when he sings it, you'll have a very, very difficult time unless you've got a keen ear. Even with headphones, it's tough. I do know that he starts the second verse. That's the one thing I do know for a fact. So,
yeah, I mean, if you listen to Leppard, I listen to their new stuff all the time. So I love their music. So I picked up on it right away. But I guess if you're not trained to Joe's new vocals.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm a historical Joe fan, obviously pre-92-ish. Whenever Adrenalize came out, I think they're back.
Their new album is really good. I mean, I guess some good guitars, all kinds of good stuff on that one. So,
well, they got a hell of a guitarist. I mean, let's face it, two of them.
I encourage anyone to check out their new album. It's really good.
We should hire John Sykes to just come in and take over. That's what they ought to do.
There you go, John Sykes.
Get rid of Vivian Campbell.
Vivian would be like, what?
Just joking. Vivian, I got new respect for Vivian after the Dio review.
So. Yeah, Vivian's awesome, man. All right, let's go to track 4, guys. Call Me Little Sunshine. Hit it, Chris. Sunshine. Now, I will say, Chris, fantastic placement of the song toward the end of that track, fantastic groove there. Oh my God. Song, however, it starts off the nice dark riff, sets the pace, and it becomes a mid-pace rocker. I will admit that Papa and Company, they can write songs that really stick with you guys. I mean, my God, he's a hit machine. And I swear to God, if it wasn't dark lyrics, this would probably be on number one on radio.
You could almost play it, if there wasn't the lyrics, seriously. You could almost play it in church. I mean, it's got that kind of, that chorus, Call Me Little Sunshine. It almost sounds church-like at times. Until you get to that Mephistopheles, then you're like, wait a minute.
I think it's the mockery. That's the whole mockery that it's behind.
I know, but I'm saying, he does such a good job of creating songs that almost sound church-like. You could be a Christian person, could sing along to this and be like, wait a minute, what'd he say?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's
I'd
exactly.
Be confused, you know.
Lyrically, so. That's what you're going to be if you read into lyrics or follow along. Mm-hmm. You're like, what? What? Oh my God!
Didn't mean to interrupt you, Jimmy. I just bumped.
No, you're good, man. You're good. The song obviously can get easily stuck in your head. I mean, this one right here is the second single from the record. It's amazing how an artist with this style of writing can make a song that sticks to you, knowing how dark the lyrics are, but how catchy the song can be. It's just amazing to me. You know, at this point, what can I say? Lyrically, it's dark, but it's the norm. At this point, Papa is a wordsmith master. His lyrical concepts of misleading you through his lyrical journey is amazing. I find this song to be outstanding as well. I'm at a 9. Chris.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, you guys are right. Like the lyrics, if you stop and think of you just be singing along, and you're like, damn, should I be singing this? I'm like,
right.
It's a very cool guitar riffs. It's kind of down tuned. This one feels a little bit. It almost has like Metallica like feel at the very beginning of this song. You know the way it kind of kicks in, like one of their I don't know, Black Days songs or something. Yeah. I love the, again, I love those dueling guitar solos that they, and they, you know, they sound amazing in concert when they do these things too. I mean, that I don't know that the musicians he brings in to play with him are just really good, and it really makes some music. That and his vocals, man, the way those things blend together are fantastic. I'll be honest, guys, I know I'm pretty sure Anthony's going really high on this one too. I don't quite like this one as much as I like the songs around it.
Okay.
Maybe it's because it's a little down-tuned. I don't know. It's a solid tune. I gave it a 7. I think it's great.
That's
but
still
I'm not
great.
Going much higher than that on this one because I don't think it's as good as the songs around it. And yeah, I mean, it's solid, but it's to me, it's not one of my favorites on the album.
Okay, fair enough. Anthony, what do you think about Call Me Little Sunshine?
If y'all hear anything in the background, my washer is currently going nuts upstairs, and it rattles everything in this room. So if y'all hear anything, that's what I saw Chris looking weird. Maybe that's what he's hearing for some reason.
I don't even hear it right now.
I think the washer's off balance and it gets a big load in there. It just like goes bug nuts. Sounds like a plane taking off.
That's what she said. Oh, I can't help it.
Call Me Little Sunshine, man. Such a dark and evil song, foreboding, haunting. I think it's an incredible ballad or mid-tempo rocker, kind of everyone you want to call it. I dig the vocals, the drums, the guitar solo. Transitions are smooth. Chorus is catchy. The song sounds is just awesome. So it's no complaints from me. I gave it a 9.2. I think it's outstanding. So, you know, it's like one of those songs, like Chris said, you're singing along. Like, wait a minute, what did I just sing?
That's a lot of these songs are like that, man. So, yeah, nonetheless. All right, we'll go to track number 5. It's called Hunter's Moon. Chris.
It's a hunter's moon.
Okay, guys, so Hunter's Moon, and this song, it comes out with some great arpeggiated guitar licks at the beginning of this song, and it's fantastic. I mean, the guitar really, really starts to, it really pounds you, you know, through the song. I think it's super catchy, actually easily listenable. I mean, the album, this album's growing on you. However, this song is a fantastic tune as well. The more you listen, the more it really stands out. I originally did not like this song as a single when it was released back in September of 21. So that just tells you this song was out 6 months prior to the album coming out. I think there was an EP with it, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, not as good as the previous song, in my opinion. So this is where we're probably going to differ, I would imagine. I don't know how you guys are going to rate this one, but I do find the song to be very, very good. I find it between 7 and 8. I'm at a 7.5. I think somewhere between great and excellent. And that's where I stand on this one. Chris, Hunter's Moon.
This was their first single, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, September of 21 is when it came out.
Anthony, do you have any song facts on this? I don't want to spoil your thing.
I've got Wikipedia facts on it. There are no song facts for Ghost. I cannot find one thing on song facts from Ghost. I looked and I looked. But
I'll leave that to you then. I'm sure you're going to see what I'm reading right here. But yeah, it's a interesting song. It's one that takes a few different directions. You know, I mean, I've said this before. They're good at that. They're good at changing direction mid-song, and it just fits the way they do it. Tobias, he's a musical, I don't know if genius is the word, but it's close to it. I mean, I feel like he almost invents styles sometimes, the way he does things. Very clean vocals. The chords are awesome. There's a part in that song that's kind of like sonically. I would have grabbed it, but there was no way that the way we record this stuff would have played through the speakers, where it just kind of almost sounds like a boomerang. You know what I'm talking about? It's really cool the way they put that through the headphones when you listen to it. Even in your vehicle, you get that effect with that part of that song. Love the riffs throughout the song. It's just very catchy, very well written. I think it's better than the previous song. I gave it an 8. I think it's like,
oh, wow. Okay. Anthony, what'd you think about Hunter's Moon?
Well, the lone fact this week from Wikipedia is on this song. Honestly, I struggled. I sent you all the text. I couldn't find nothing this week on Ghost on song facts.
Right,
it's probably where it's a new album, man. There's not a lot of history behind it yet.
But they're a new band. A lot of times these new bands have oodles.
They have tons and tons. Yeah, right.
Really? I just find it kind of strange. I wonder if it's maybe because of their message. Maybe Songfix doesn't do it. Gotta wonder that.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know, man. Slayer's got stuff on Songfix.
Well, that's true. I mean, I look
as it gets.
There's all kind of Ghostface, all kind of Ghostface Killer. There's all kind of stuff like that on Songfix. But there was no Ghost, man. So.
Ghostface Killer.
I think he's a rap star, isn't he?
Yeah, I believe so.
Wikipedia. Hunter's Moon is a song by Ghost. It was released on September 30th, 2021, in support of the 2021 slasher film Halloween Kills. Although it does not feature on the film's soundtrack, it plays over the end credits. A music video for the song was released the same day. On January 20th, 2022, the band announced that the song was confirmed to be featured on their fifth studio album, which we're listening to now. It was released on March 11th, 2022. There's two versions of this song out there, the single version, and then there's a version that plays over the end credits in Halloween Kills. So that's all I've got this week on facts. So not a lot, kind of thin, but yeah. And Halloween Kills is a great movie, so I don't know if you guys have seen it or not.
The trilogy is great. I loved it.
Except for the last one.
I don't know, dude. I thought it was a great movie.
Halloween Ends, man. I'm not going to watch a goth guy run around half the movie. I want to see a Michael Myers in a movie.
Yeah, dude. Myers is old at that point. He's really old at that point. You got to think about it. He's like 80.
You start. Okay. Sidebar for just a second.
Here we go.
I've been wanting to get into this for a minute. You start Halloween Ends, should be your first movie. And then you transition Michael Myers into the lead role into the second and third one. Because the way they start that movie with Jamie Lee Curtis, she almost reverses roles. She's like going through this hellacious nightmare of a world in her head. And all of a sudden she's Susie Homemaker by the third one. That makes no sense. Why not make her Susie Homemaker like she's gotten past everything? Then all the crap hits a fan. Then you get into everything. That's my personal opinion.
sidebar. We can, we'll do this one in the other podcast. Okay. Cause that, cause I am a huge, huge Halloween fan.
So, I am too. I love why, Halloween. It's one of my favorite movies.
I will tell you
movies.
Why that, in my opinion, why that, the way they did it was better than what you're saying. And I will say this. It was preparation. The first episode was preparation because she knew it was coming and she knew he was still
the
alive.
The first one was great.
Oh my God. We can't. Yeah, it was.
And Halloween kills the body. You let the bodies hit the floor. That's a great slasher movie. There's a lot of carnage in that one. But the third one was just like, what were you thinking?
I don't know, dude. Copycat killers, what's happening? But, you know, it's okay. It's okay. Let's we'll do this one another day, my friend.
What, Michael Myers lives in a sewer now on Halloween ends and you bring him people to kill? I don't get it. So
where has he lived before, though? Besides the asylum.
He's think everywhere. He's pure evil.
He's the right. shape.
Right. Let's wrap this up, guys. We Let's go to the album, please.
Track six. It's
Wait,
called
I haven't done my, I haven't done my intro yet. I haven't said anything about my
song.
You're
right. You haven't even said anything about the song.
Jesus. We really went crazy today. All right.
Let's move on. Come on.
Sorry. A few weeks off, and I guess I'm just a little testy.
We've lost our minds.
Okay. Really, honestly, Hunter's Moon, it's an amazing tune. It's loud. It's powerful. It's bombastic. I won't go into everything I said. I just love the way this one pounds. I actually gave this one a 10.
Oh my gosh.
This is perfection for Ghost. I've known this song before I knew this album.
Well,
and
sure.
I guess like being a horror fan and seeing the movie, but every time I hear this song, I think of Halloween. I think of Michael Myers. I just love the that. Heaviness of this.
I can
one.
See it too, Anthony. I mean, I honestly, that's you brought a valid point that I had completely forgot about. I didn't remember it being at the end credits until you said it. I'm like, oh God, I guess it was.
So for me, this is a perfect Ghost song. And this is a song I think will be in their discography for a long time to come. And in concert for a long time to come, I'm sure. So
sure. No doubt. No doubt.
On to the right. next.
On to next, kids. Let's go to track six, Watcher in the Sky. Should have grabbed that entire solo. Oh my God.
I know. I had to get I part bring, of it. I it's love hard to that guitar solo.
It's hard to
love
it. It's hard to get all that in there. All right. So, Watcher in the Sky. Time for some 80s era guitar riffs, kids. And it is absolutely fantastic. Holy moly. This one can get your head bobbing and playing air guitar in no time at all. As I said before in other songs, this one can get stuck in your head. Do not sleep on the breakdown, which is where we were at before the solo, because it is absolutely a killer. Killer guitar solo. This song was absolutely made for arena rock. There is no doubt about it. And seeing it live was an experience, and the song is heavier in person than what you hear on the record. There is no doubt. I mean, my God, I feel like this song will be a staple for their live set for a very, very long time. I mean, I'm sounding like a broken record at this point. This song is outstanding, guys. This is another one that has the potential to become, or it possibly could be, Ghost perfection, because my God, this one rocks. 9. Chris.
Yeah, this is my favorite song on the album. I love those riffs all the way through. It's just, they're nasty. They got great tone. That dueling guitar solo is probably the best minute and a half on the album. The vocals are fantastic. Background vocals are fantastic. I mean, it's got that Def Leppard-ish kind of feel to it when it comes right. to the vocals. Just a tremendous groove throughout the whole song. I gave it 9.5. No tens tonight. It's definitely my highest rated song.
That's fantastic. Anthony.
And it's one of those, again, you're like, should I be singing along with this?
Yeah. I was reading through the lyrics a minute ago, and I have no idea what they mean.
Well, let me tell you, I actually, I saw a meme a long time ago. I sent it to Jimmy. There was like a washing machine like hanging in the sky. He sounds, that's the one knock on this song. Yeah. He does, I guess it's his Scandinavian accent. I don't think he can pronounce the word watch correctly.
I'm a stay-at-home dad, so I do look at the washer in the sky many days. So
I'm sure, right.
That's the only thing, but that's not much of a knock. So.
You know, oh God. Speaking of Def Leppard, that's another band that their songs from Hysteria sound much heavier in concert. I've noticed that.
Dude, absolutely.
I'm listening to some of those songs like, whoa, where'd that drum come from? Like Rocket, that drum hits, you're like, don't. He's like, what the?
We haven't done Hysteria, have we?
We have. We did it in one of those Versus episodes.
Oh, we did the Versus.
We made a mistake with that, guys. Yeah,
we'll do Hysteria again.
We have to because that album absolutely is production perfection. I can tell you right now.
There's going to be a lot of nines and tens on that. Yeah.
It's a top 80s album for sure. All right, now let's continue, Anthony. Sorry.
It's obvious we haven't done this in a bit, isn't it? We're all just all wound up talking today.
I know, right?
Watcher in the Sky, man. Nice intro. Digging those drums, that crunchy guitar. Luckily, this one sounds, got a nice groove to it, nice beat, solid drum work. Guitar really shines, of course. Tobias kills it on vocals. I gave it an 8. I think it's excellent, but I could almost go to a 9 on this one, too. I may mention pounding drums, but the thing is, I've got these Sony headphones, got extra bass in them. So when you listen to Ghost with those headphones on, it's like rattles your freaking eardrums. So that's what makes some of this stuff sounds kind of heavy to me at times. But anyways, yeah, I go 9, but I might go to a 9 on that one. Outstanding. It is an outstanding song. So.
It's killer. It's killer. All right. So the next song is actually another little interlude or just instrumental for, a minute or something like that. It was called Dominion. So we're going to skip through Dominion and go into the actual next real song with Bogles. It's called 20s. Chris, hit it.
Tag on that one,
Chris. There we go. Explicit.
I know. Should cut it before that. I'm
kidding.
Sorry.
He couldn't stop it, kids. All right, so here we go. Rebel. This is the 20s. I like the orchestra intro. Assuming that this is playing out of the previous song, which is Dominion. Dominion was obviously a slowdown in between Watcher in the Sky. I will say this about Dominion. I think this is something that sounds like a song that could be played in Frankenstein's castle. What went through my mind when I heard this. I was like, yeah, this definitely would be like a dark and eerie tune. Nonetheless, I will say this is the heaviest riff on the record, and normally I'm absolutely all over that stuff. It's different from pretty much the rest of the songs on the record in my ears, and it hits hard. The bass really stands out, and even though I do love this riff and the guitar tone, I think the song's not a standout. I know it's a single. I don't know why I'd explain it. Vocally, something's just not there for me. I think it's the repetitive in the 20s and it sounds like almost like, and I don't want to say this is something he just threw together last second, because I'm sure this is something that he worked on for a long time. It's not as good as any of the songs prior to this in my ears. Well, that's, like I said, it's just how I heard it. I maybe is that the girl singing backup vocals. I don't know what it is. Something didn't grab me. I still think the song is good. I think it's somewhere between good and very good. I'm at a 5.5. This is probably my lowest, not my lowest, but it's close to it. Hey, I just, guys, it's something vocally in there I cannot stand. You take his vocals off and make this an instrumental, I love it, because it's nothing but heaviness. Yeah, Chris, what'd you think about 20s?
You know, it's a, It's an interesting song. First off, you're right. It's very heavy, like in parts, right? In the parts where it's supposed to be heavy. It's like a double bass kick drum in there. It's, I love that groove. It almost feels like it's definitely theatrical. I mean, this is something you could see that Rob Zombie remake he did of the Munsters. I could hear this in that. I don't
know. It feels like something.
Yeah, it sucks. Actually,
I thought it was a pretty fun movie, but
it sucks. But that said,
I enjoyed it.
It's theatrical. It's catchy. It's fun. I like it. I actually thoroughly enjoyed this song. It's odd that they didn't play this in concert when we saw them, yet it was a single off this album. I don't know. That surprised me a little bit.
It's because it's the weakest single of the ones released.
But you know, when I saw that was a single, I was like, wow. And they didn't even play it in concert. That was surprising. I gave it 7. I think it's a great song. Okay. It's fun. I don't think it's outstanding. I don't think it shines compared to some of the other ones, but like, I do like it. And Ghost is a very theatrical band. I mean, they're all about, stage performance, you know, and so I'm a little surprised they didn't play it live, because this feels like they could have put a really cool like choreography set around this song and played it live. And I don't know, but yeah, it was cool. I enjoyed it. Right, 7. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. I will say that, I did say the song was good, so don't.
All right, Anthony, go ahead. Yeah, no, I know where you're coming from. Yeah, and I knew Anthony loved it, by the way, just due to the way
it's,
the song.
Honestly,
goes.
It's one of my favorite Ghost songs.
I know Anthony
to
loves
the
it.
Truth. A big fan of this one,
dude. Rock it out. Talk to us.
You know, I just love everything about it. The way it starts, the way it kicks in with those heavy drums, that crunchy guitar. It's the kind of song you just want to crank. I would just crank this one up every time. It just works for me. I love Tobias's vocals. The way they throw in this crazy stuff in the background, the harmonies. I mean, it's just it's a batshit crazy song, and I love it. And the guitar solo is smashing, too. I mean, it's only a song Ghost could really pull off. There's just certain songs at certain bands.
Right. I agree. Right. I agree wholeheartedly.
So I think it's a 9. I think it's outstanding.
Wow.
Digging it. And the funny thing is, I think he's talking about the 2020s, but I keep thinking of the 1920s when I hear this song.
I agree.
That's what goes in my head, agreed. Too. Yeah, I agree, too. I agree with that.
I wonder if he's throwing back to the... This is one I wish I had song facts for some of these songs. I'm like, what is he talking about with the 20s? With the raining pennies? What is all... It's got to be some kind of...
1920s, dude, for real. Because pennies were a lot of money, I guess, back in those days, right? Roaring 20s.
That's what I keep thinking of. Maybe he's talking about the current 20s, because into the 30s, maybe he's talking about Ghost being concurrent up into the 30s. I don't know, but...
It's to the point now where it was 100 years ago, so we're not sure which one he's talking about. That's interesting, right? But
that is crazy.
It does have sort of a 1920s sound to it, though, if you listen to it. Like, the background has sort of the 20s sound to it. So.
I'm operating under 1920s, but that's just...
That's the way I took it as well. But yeah,
I could see it being either way, so...
I could see, you know, Tobias coming on stage dressed like somebody from the 20s with all that ghost makeup on, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you have a zoot suit on out there or something. I can totally see
that. That would look cool. Absolutely. With that makeup on and zoot suit.
The stage presence would be outstanding.
I'm really surprised they didn't work this into the set. They're doing another leg. I wouldn't be shocked if this isn't in the next set.
Maybe they could have gold confetti fall during the...
Dude, you could think about it. You could really dress this up, make like a black and white background. Oh my god!
You could make like a ball or something, like one of those old timey balls, and have like ghouls in ball dresses coming out and dancing on stage to this song.
Dude, for real,
he's missing golden opportunity not using this in concert.
Tobias, you need some creative inspiration. I'm here. Give me a call.
Oh my, give me a call. All right, guys, let's go to track number 9. Darkness at the Heart of My Love.
There's a darkness at the heart of my love that runs cold, runs deep. The darkness at the heart of my love, so old, so sweet. There's a darkness at the heart of my love that runs cold, runs deep. The darkness at the heart of my love, so old, so sweet.
guys, break out the pitchforks because I'm getting ready to get stabbed. Here we go. Darkness at the Heart of My Love. Obviously, this is an attempt at a ballad. I think the song has that soft guitar lick playing gently throughout the intro. However, no matter how this album turns, this is something just didn't feel like it fit on the record to my ears anyway. I do think that his vocals are great, but there's just something about the song that's not memorable at all. I do find this one easily to skip over, to be honest with you.
Wow.
Every time I listen to this week, with exception of, or the past couple of weeks, I should say, I pretty much skipped it every time except for maybe three. I've listened to it three times.
Wow.
And even when my wife and I went to Johnson City last weekend together, and I went through this album a couple of times with her on the way down and back. And on the second, like on the first time through, she's like, "This song is terrible." I'm like, "Yeah, it drones on. I agree." And guys, I will say this. This is probably the worst Ghost song I've ever heard
My
ears out of all their records.
Oh, my goodness.
I think it's a meh. I give it a 4.
Oh,
Chris,
my God. I'm actually
darkness?
Bumping my rating up on this one. Thank
you should,
goodness.
Because it's garbage. You can't follow that. Y'all just go ahead and give up.
Mic drop it. Yeah, it's an interesting song. It almost feels kind of like an 80s power ballad sometimes. Right. Also kind of feels like he's traipsing through the Shire at times, kind of in the verse.
Just read,
part of
just
it anyway.
Reread The Hobbit. Glad to hear that too. So.
It feels like The Hobbit, doesn't it? I can see that.
Oh, my
that.
God.
You know, again with Ghost, though, and Jimmy, say what you will, these harmonizing guitars that kick in, you gotta love it, man. I mean, that the guitars, to me, are kind of the shining point on this song. I do like the Shire Hobbit part's lame. I don't care for that either. But I do like the power ballad feeling parts of the song. It's another theatrical tune. I gave it 6.5. That's where I am with it. I think it's between very good and great. But is that 6.5? Yeah, I think that's what that is.
Between very good and great. That is correct.
Yeah. Because, I mean, guitar wise, man, there's a part in there where those guitars, it's almost like a journey, like the way they take off, like the band Journey. But some of the ballads those guys did back in the day almost gives me shades of that. I don't know. I mean, I see where you're coming from. I don't think it's the worst thing I've ever done. I'm not going to say that, but
it's okay.
I can see.
It's probably my lowest rate for these guys ever.
Well, yeah, it's not even my lowest rate on this album. So.
Wow.
But you'll get that here in a little while. But
jeez, it's kind of scared right now. Which one?
Anthony, Darkness. At the Heart of My Love.
You know, it's another song that I really dig the intro to. That acoustic guitar, the finger snaps, Tobias's creepy vocals, man. I wrote that it gets my horror side all a tither when I hear that. So
I love it.
Don't get Anthony's tither going too much.
I'm telling you what, man. Then it kicks in with those drums and the guitars. It's another smooth transition. The song itself just works. Ghost is killing it. Zero flaws. I think it's an excellent ballad or mid-tempo, but I'm going to go to a 9 and say it's an outstanding song in my mind. And I didn't get the Hobbit vibe. I got Suspiria vibes off this one. This is where I wish I had songfacts.com, that old Dario Argento movie. It sounds a lot like some of the music from Suspiria, especially the opening. There's a lot of that. Da-da-da-da-da. That's kind of the way Suspiria does it at times, that little when they're tracking stuff going on. So.
Right, right. So, and you're talking about the original Suspiria.
The original, right? Dario Argento's version. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he was inspired by that movie when he did this song. That's why I wish I had some more facts on this stuff. So.
I'm sure you may be falling right in line. I didn't even think about that. I haven't seen that movie in a long, long time.
Yeah, it's been a bit for me, too. I think I still own a copy of it, though.
It's weird that we keep talking about movies with this because, to me, he's kind of a modern-day version of Rob Zombie. I know it's not the same kind of thing, but Rob used that whole satanic gimmick shtick to sell music, and that's what he's
satanic
doing here
panic.
Too. If you ask me, like, it's just a shtick to try to, I don't know, piss off the boomers and like sell music. I mean, I think that's why he's doing it. And I'll touch on this more in the final thoughts, but there are comparisons to him and Rob Zombie. I feel like
they both seem to.
Go ahead.
You know, sorry to interrupt you, but Rob, like, what's the movie? The Boogeyman. He's going to get you. He's going to get you. Boogeyman's coming. You know that song? That's taken directly from Halloween. Mm-hmm. So Rob actually pulls directly from movies. Yeah. I don't think Tobias does that. They seem to be more like, oh, maybe you can think that's what this is or what this is. You know, they can't let you have your own interpretation. That. So,
But they're both very theatrical.
Very theatrical. That's why they probably opened for Iron Maiden, you know, because they're just as theatrical as Iron Maiden. So,
true. Very true. All right. Well, let's go ahead and go to the next track. It's called Griftwood. Chris. Griftwood, another arpeggiated guitar intro, and I do love the way this song starts out. Lyrically, it's another Tark song. It's certainly better than the previous track, there's no doubt. I think the mid-paced vibe on this tune is really very good, and the song did grow on me throughout the past year I've been listening to it. This is one of those ones I kind of thought was less than memorable for a long time, but the more I listened to it, the more it kind of grew on me, and this is one that really did. I mean, originally, I think I was going to throw like a 5, 5.5 on this, and then as I listened to it throughout, I was like, oh man, this is actually better than I thought. And the solo is a whole lot better than I gave it credit for originally listening to this. This song to me, I think it's somewhere between very good and great. I'm at a 6.5. Chris, what do you think? Griftwood.
Yeah, that intro, man, I'm going to play it again. Think Eddie Van Halen when you listen to this. Just tell me that.
Oh, dude, absolutely.
I mean, that's straight Van Halen right there, man. That worship is fantastic. That is the highlight of the song, that guitar tone and that riff that carries throughout it. I will say the chorus is a little forgettable, kind of the lyrics and stuff as that goes. I know what you mean. And it's also one that the more you listen to it, the better it gets, because I was right there with you, man. I actually have 5.5 written on my paper, but as I listen to it through the headphones, it's like, it's better than that. I am going to bump it to probably 6.5. I'm right where you are. I feel like that's more fair for this song.
Okay.
But, it's middle of the road for me on this album. The riff is awesome. I don't remember there being a tremendous guitar solo in this or anything like that. Probably
it's actually a very solid guitar solo.
Was there a good solo? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Maybe so. But the chorus has never grabbed me on it. So I don't know. Yeah. I need a good singable chorus to like really
pump it up. Right.
Stick it in my head, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, it's solid and the guitars are great. So,
all right, Anthony Griftwood.
This is another one I wish I had some facts on. I'd like to know more what this song's about. It sounds almost like it's questioning certain things.
So. Well, I'll say this. He very much for the song he is, because the first time I heard that, I was like, man, this is like not good. But then I'd read some history about that one. And he was talking about some con man from the California back in the day who was like a, you know, Jimmy Swaggart guy.
Yeah.
So like, Griftwood, it's probably about that televangelist type people, would be my guess.
Televangelist has given these artists a lot to go off of. I know back in the 80s when Swagger and those guys got hit hard, these metal guys who've been crucified by those guys just tore them apart.
Ozzy dedicated an entire song to it.
Iron Maiden's got Miracle a couple, Man. Got one too, you know, and Priest, they had one. And
Yes.
I think Metal Church even had one, didn't they? They probably did.
I can't remember. I wish I had more knowledge. Couple albums I'm in on it, you know, Dark and original Metal Church. So after that, it's kind of spotty.
It's West definitely given people a lot of creative inspiration.
Oh, sure.
You know, Griffwood, man, I like the crunchy guitars and heaviness of it. The overall vibe, vocals are solid. Harmonies are pretty much on point. I do like the way Tobias answers himself. I think that's kind of neat, you know, in the chorus. Mm-hmm. And I put guitar solo as scorching, so I must have heard a guitar solo.
It's possible.
It was a fantastic solo, Chris. It really was. That's one of the main reasons why I brought my score up as high as it did, because, my God, the solo deserves a lot of credit. Let's put it that way.
So I gave it a 7. I think it's great. It's probably my lowest rated on the album. But
fair enough.
A great tune for me.
All right. So we're going to go into the next track, which is actually it's another instrumental. It's called "By the Passage," but it's only like 30 seconds long. It's the intro to the Respite of the Spittlefields.
Yes. Spittlefields.
I think is that what it's called?
It's Spittlefields. The stains of this creeper will last. The shine. Steel. Now the street walking dead die. Was quite a scene, wasn't it? For the lost and misled die. With promises by the pit.
So I will say this, Chris, I did mean to ask you to pull a separate part on this earlier this week, and I forgot to. And I'll try to find it. I'll put mute in it, and I'll try to find it to play it. But I will say this. I'm not a huge fan of slower songs closing out albums, but this song is actually a story. And the song just kind of speeds up and gets heavier in bits. Lyrically, though, Papa is absolutely telling a story of carnage. The song did grow on me. I will say this, and I'll try to find this if I can. There is a riff in this tune that is an absolute ripoff of Still of the Night. Dude, I'll find it. I'll play it in a second. I'm sorry. And that's what I was going to have you pull that, because I was like, oh my God. But I still think the song did turn out great. I know this is going to probably be your flush, Chris, but I think the song turned out great. I think it's because it's maybe that macabre ending fits the ghost styling so well. And as this song goes out, it's the way the album come in, so to speak. So I will say, I think the song was great. I gave it a 7. Chris, what'd you think?
Let's get it out of the way.
Here we go.
I feel kind of bad about this, but yeah.
Chris's Flush of the Week.
Yeah, I will say the coolest thing about this song is the way the last minute and a half it's the same as the first minute and a half on the album. They bookend it tremendously. I mean, it's just the same riff going in and out. That's cool the way they did that. I got to give him credit. And it's kind of genius, really. I mean, that's why I feel bad about that. There are parts of this song that are really good. And then there are parts of this song that it's so dramatic, the turns he takes on this song. You know what I mean, Anthony? Like, it just, I guess you like that, I guess, right?
I do.
Dramatic turns in a song.
I do.
Sometimes I do. I don't hate this song. I don't. I'm not sure I would have closed the album, but that said, yeah, I guess I would have, because of the way that he bookends it, man. I mean, that was genius, the way he kicked in the end of, I guess, Imperia, right? Or Imperium at the very, it's like the same thing at the beginning and end. I think it's down-tuned a little bit, but it's really cool the way he did that. The guitar solos are awesome on this, too. I mean, I will say, like, the guitar solos, spot on this. So I do feel bad, but I gave it a 5. I think it's good. But there are parts, man, that it drags on too long, and it just, like, I don't know, it just doesn't fit with other parts of this. I don't know, it's a little disjointed, I guess. But overall, I give it a 5. I think it's good, not much more than that.
I get it. Now, Anthony, before you do yours, I'm going to play this for you guys so you guys can hear it. And this is right after the first solo, and it's It's got like, you know, 7 seconds of solo or something. Then it breaks into part. Tell me what you think. I mean, I could be wrong.
I definitely hear it, man. Definitely hear it.
And that is, like I said, that's, sorry, I just peaked, but that's one of the things that really stood out to me. I was like, holy crap, this is a Steal the Night ripoff. This is absolute brilliancy because it's about a darkness, you know what I'm saying? It's a darkness in the night, you know what I'm saying? So I thought, man, they really brought in some historical metal, some 80s, because it's got 80 riffs written all over it too. But yeah, that's yeah, and that's kind of why I bumped cool. that to where it was. All right, Anthony, go ahead and continue and finish up with your respite.
What was your rating, Jimmy?
Mine was a 7. I think the song ended up being great.
I was just trying to look up Spitalfields while you were talking.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of different definitions. There's one that says in 1769, the Spitalfield riots occurred when attempts were made to disperse protest meetings by weavers during the downturn in the market for silk. I don't think the song would be about that.
Wow.
There's one that said traders working for a collection of sheds and stalls did their best to meet the needs of London's rapidly growing population and their appetite for fresh fruit and vegetables. I don't think it'd be about that. And it's also a lively East End area. I think of London, home to artists, creatives, and a large Bangladeshi community. So I don't know, man. That's what I could find quickly online. But it doesn't sound like anything that they'd be singing about, you know, but because he's throwing a lot of words about Jesus and stuff in there. So, but me personally, man, I like the way Bite a Passage, which is a great title. I should name a podcast Bite a Passage. That's a good title. Leads into this one.
Not again.
Vampire thing.
Here we go.
Yeah, I get vampire podcast called Bite a Passage. I mean, that's freaking awesome. Oh, or a short story, you know, where someone's got to become a teenage vampire, has got to become a real vampire, a Bite a Passage, Write a Passage.
Yeah, it's actually writes itself, man. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Anyways, where am I? This is a killer tune, like so many on the album. Kind of lulls you in with this softness before kicking into the chorus. And I really like the way Tobias emphasizes the words in the chorus. That really helps to sell it for me. Guitar solo is on point. Might be one of the best guitar solos on the album is what I wrote. I like the bits of bass sprinkled about. You can kind of hear the bass a little more in this one, it seems like to me, for some reason. I gave it an 8. I think it's excellent. Great way to close the album out. So, anyway, yeah. So that's
probably the only one that noticed the way they used the last minute and a half. The same as the first minute and a half.
I said
did
that.
You mention
well, that? I remember that.
I said it went out as the album came in. So, yeah.
Sometimes when I'm doing my review, I get to the end. I'm like, okay, final word. I'm done.
Yeah.
Speaking of final words, here we go, guys. Here's my final thoughts.
Nice transition.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So this album is absolutely a fantastic listen. I think that this song, my initial thoughts as this album was released over a year ago, or right at a year ago, I should say, it's Ghost. It's okay. That's what my initial thoughts were. A couple really good songs, but nothing really kind of grabbed me. But however, throughout last year and listened to it throughout pretty much the summer and going into when we saw them live, and then seeing these songs perform live, it really allowed the music to grow on me to the point to where I was more focused on what was going on. Musically, this album is great. Lyrically, it's dark. That is what you get with Ghost. And there's no, you can't hide it. There's nothing there. This is exactly how he writes his music. Papa has really done an excellent job with how the band has grown over the years. This album is a strong album in an ever-growing discography. In my opinion, the first half of the album was loaded with excellence, and the back half was subpar to Ghost standards. I mean, let's face it. I did have a couple of songs that were, you know, very, very low and did affect the overall score, but my overall rating came to a 7.4. I am going to go ahead and bump that up to 7.5, somewhere between great and excellent, because I think the album is somewhere between great and excellent. And I'm not going to say this album, that rating may not change over time, because I think these songs have the potential to grow on me even more over the time that I may throw into this record and listen to it. It's an absolute fan. I mean, I've got this on vinyl. This is a fantastic listen, guys, and it's well worth your time to kind of give 45 minutes, 46 minutes of your day and give this thing a spin. Chris, what's your final thoughts?
Well, first off, this was a good pick, Jimmy. I'm glad you picked it. At some point, we probably needed to review this album. And, you know, the front end of this album I was very familiar with. It was my top streamed band last year. It's simply because we were going to go see him in concert, and I didn't know a song by him, and I was like, I need to learn these guys quick. So I kind of made a playlist that had all the concert songs in it, and just crammed it while I was mowing the grass in the summer, and you know, just like I listened to it a lot. And so I knew the first half of this album very well, up till Watcher in the Sky and nothing after it. So I, you know, kind of submerged myself into the second half of this album because I knew the first one pretty, you know, at that point pretty well. It was good, the second half of the album. It was good. It probably not quite, I don't know. I wish I'd have knew it more. I wish I knew it better than I did. I do feel like some of these songs grow on you as time goes on, like Griftwood, that riff, man, my God, that was a great riff. I think you were a little unnecessarily critical on Darkness at the Heart of My Love, but I'll leave that alone.
Stop your crying.
I think bringing in Frederick Ockeson there was a brilliant move for this because that guy's guitar, his tone, it's perfect. It absolutely fits this music. Yeah. You know, it's funny, I'm looking at a little bit off script here. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, and this is how they describe Ghost. Musically, his Imperia has been described as hard rock, arena rock, glam metal, heavy metal, and pop rock. It's been described as or been compared to ABBA, Boston, Dio, Bon Jovi, Def Leppard. I can hear every bit of that. And it's surprising. I don't know about ABBA. I guess maybe because they're Swedish. I don't know. But
they actually covered some ABBA songs, didn't they, Jimmy, at one point in time?
They do cover an ABBA tune.
So, like, all this is, you know, kind of leads me to the point, these guys are starting to make a name for themselves. And it's weird because I wonder if Tobias at some level is like, you know, I think they've kind of topped out on growth with their current shtick. I really do. Yet you've got like, they got this mainstream, huge, out of nowhere success because some kid made a TikTok video with 1 billion views for Mary on a Cross. And now you've got like half the crowd is these 13-year-old girls in there with Stranger Things t-shirts on. And you're just like, okay, that's interesting. But like, do you think at all he's ever going to change the direction? How can you? You've got the comic. I mean, you got the theatrics of it. He's, you know, in Papa Face, if you will, on concert. You got all these guys wearing masks around and stuff. I don't know how you change that. They have the talent for serious mainstream success, but with the theme and the gimmick, I'm not sure they'll ever pull that off. At some point, it's like, okay, this probably got them to the point they're at, that theme and gimmick, but it's not going to get them over the hump. And maybe they don't care about that. I mean, we saw them in a mid-sized arena in a small market town, which is what their tour is. It's not playing Madison Square Garden, you know, and it's because they couldn't fill Madison Square Garden. That's the reason they're not playing Madison Square Garden. I think the fan base is passionate, and I think they enjoy the music, but it's not going to reach a ton of people like some of these other. Maybe he's okay with that. Maybe that's where he wants to go, but I'm curious. You know, the more I was listening to this, I was like, this is really good. These musicians are fantastic. His vocals are great. He's a clever lyricist, man. I mean, he writes good stuff, but it's all kind of like in that lane. So I don't know where you go if you're a band like this after this. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
I give you one word. Kiss. Yeah. They went unmasked in the 80s and they sold a bunch of records then.
Yeah,
I can see them doing something like that. And I could actually see Ghost doing something like taking off the mask and going straight pop. Yeah, I could see them doing that too. Just a poppy-ish.
I think it's part of the gimmick, guys. I mean, I get it. Kiss's gimmick was there. I think Tobias tried this before Ghost. He was in a band and wrote songs and did the whole nine yards. I think the discussion would be, I think before he takes off and retires the mask, the band's done. I think he knows that's what people want.
Yeah,
they want that anonymity. And I think he hates that he was exposed to who he was because
I'm sure he does.
And everybody was part of that circle, such a tight circle for years because, you know, he didn't get exposed to what, 16, 17?
Yes.
I mean, they did this for almost 10 years.
That's the age we live in, though. You could get away with that in the 70s. You can't get away with that in the 80s.
Yeah, right. It's the digital times, right? You know,
But yeah, where I was listening to all these songs, and I was just like, man, these guys, they could be so mainstream successful with if they just tweak the band a little bit, because they're not going to get radio play. Well, these days anything gets radio play, but like, you know what I mean? They're not going to
exist anymore.
They're not going to be at the forefront. They're not going to be playing the Super Bowl. They're not, you know, it's, it doesn't work for what they're doing.
If you're not hip hop,
but they're very talented, and he's,
they
he's
won a Grammy,
I think he's
though,
a
right?
genius. Yeah, they did.
They won a Grammy, guys. So, maybe. I mean, that right there expose you to all kinds of stuff.
And maybe the society around us has changed to the point where it's acceptable now. I don't know. For me, anyway, back to this album. I gave it a 7.3 overall when I rounded mine up. I'm with you, Jimmy. That's a little low. I'm going to give it a 7.5 as well. Yeah, I mean, it was a great listen. It front-loaded probably, but I enjoyed the back end of it. There were some gems back there too. So
right.
But okay. Yeah, more than anything, it's just every time I listen to these guys, it strikes me how talented they are, and I almost feel like it's a double-edged sword, because I feel like the gimmick, you know, a lot of people when they first saw them were like, "Wow, look at these guys! Like, what is this?" And then they're like, "Oh, the music's pretty good." So it gets them in people's minds, but then the further you go, the more like, okay, I've got to like shut this off now. Cause like, I don't know, like I don't think you can ever like reach like U2 levels or something with that gimmick. You know what I mean? And not right. that they want to be U2, but just as a band that came to the top of my head. I don't know. It's an interesting discussion, but
I think musically they sell well. I think with their, you know, the shirts, the stuff, the regalia that they put out
merch
there,
wise,
they are masters, just like Kiss was back.
They are.
Throughout
very similar. Kiss good point, it. Man. Good
Kiss
point.
Did it for they're doing it still 50 years, you know, 60, almost 50, right at 50 years anyway.
They're musicians in Kiss, by the way. They're better vocalists, better guitar, everything, man. I mean,
you shut your damn mouth.
That's true. And even the merch wise, man, that's
Paul Stanley is a saint.
Yeah, Topaz could sing him under a table any day of the week, and you know it, man.
Oh my God!
Apparently, you've never heard Shandy before.
Exactly, you're telling me.
Oh yeah.
All right. Okay. We got to cut Chris off. He's been drinking this morning. Good Lord. All right, Anthony. What's your final thoughts?
My final rating was 8.4, somewhere between outstanding and excellent. And I'm more than fine with that. It's a solid entry in the Ghost discography. And you know what? To me, it seems like the band isn't slowing down at all. They keep just getting better and better. Keep putting out great music, great albums. And I wrote, and I think they will be a band that will continue to haunt the metal and hard rock scene for years to come. It's a thumbs up. Highly recommend it. Great pick, Jimmy. So I'll make mine short and sweet. So 8.4. Yeah, Chris wouldn't shut mind. Up. I was like, my God,
Well, I've got a lot of thoughts on this band, man. I really
nothing wrong with
no,
that.
I do. There are times, like you were saying with the band, where I'm like, if you weren't talking about the devil so much, I mean, you could really, you know, get into this band sometimes. Sometimes you feel kind of wrong for listening to them.
And at the same time, it's off. Not like, it feels like it's just a gimmick, but like they've leaned in it so hard over the years, they got to keep going with it, you know? Like, they're not out there sacrificing people on stage or anything. They're not really, I don't know, man. It's just like.
Yet. Like Alice Cooper with the guillotine when he brought it on stage.
Yeah, it's very Alice Cooper-ish, man. I mean, yeah, it is. Like,
oh, my God, dude. That's great.
I don't know.
But I mean, Alice Cooper, he's been going since the late 60s, early 70s. Kiss, same. You know, these bands, Rob Zombie, he's still doing it. I mean, you can still keep doing it. You may just hit a plateau and right. stay there.
And I think they're at that plateau, personally.
But you can stay there for years if it's still working for you.
True. Yeah. Very true. And obviously, like I said, Kiss still does it to this day. They're on the End of the Road tour for 4 years now. So, I mean, let's face it.
They've been on the End of the Road tour.
Have they not wrapped that up yet?
I don't know. I think they're still going. I don't know. But anyway, I think it's time for a pick. Chris?
It is. All right. I think it's my pick. I can't remember. I'm
going to it is. I believe it's your pick.
It's more of a universal pick this time. Right?
It became.
And in this corner, weighing in at 165 pounds, it's the blues rock guru, the master of podcast production, and the man who cannot stop the battery. It's Chris's pick.
Okay, so I kind of tipped these guys off a while back about this band that I've been listening to. It's a local band. We kind of figured we might start giving a little local love out here from time to time. This group's kind of alt country, if you will. They've kind of really started making a name for themselves over the past year or so. I wanted Anthony to give these guys a good listen because I thought he'd really like it. And as a matter of fact, I think his dad would really like it too. He's mentioned his dad in the past on this stuff. They're from right where his dad grew up as well. So the band is called 49 Winchester. They got a new album called Fortune Favors the Bold. That'd be the pick this week.
Excellent. All right, kiddos. Anthony, what do you got going on this week? I know you've released a handful of things in the past couple of weeks that we didn't get a chance to spread the joy on, but yeah, what's going on this week?
I love to spread joy. E-Tag.
Spreading something, I'll tell you what.
Song lines and spreading old age. Song lines and tan lines. I actually put 49 Winchester in my last episode, so one of their songs if you want to just get a little taste of their music. This week, I'm diving into the fourth Key West episode. It'll probably be my final Key West. More after this, but a couple of Buffett songs, talking about his concert set list. I got a really good email from someone detailing a lot of his time in Key West, so I'm kind of getting into that. So
very cool.
Awesome.
And I have tentatively started a new podcast called Ghost from the Coast. It's only on Spotify and Anchor as of right now. So if you guys want to check that out too. It's going to be dealing with mostly coastal stuff, you know, with cryptic creatures and ghosts and aliens. I'm working on an alien episode right now, so.
Very cool.
Hot topic in the area for sure.
Yeah, this is an old one back from the 70s, the Pascagoula incident, where some guy saw some bullet-headed alien that came out and abducted him or something. It's wild stuff, so yeah.
Wow. Crazy, man.
Yeah, all right. I love diving into that stuff. It's just like, whoa. They got pictures of it online, too, of what they drew, what they saw. So
very
crazy.
Cool.
So
but. Check that stuff out because I have a taste for the UFO and the phenomenon.
Yeah, Ryan Sprague's podcast, Somewhere in the Skies, man. I was listening to two of his episodes.
He's been on fire the past
morning.
2 weeks.
Huh?
He's been on fire the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He's had some great interviews. Holy smokes.
Yeah, his stuff's really good. If you got time for it, his stuff's really good. And it's really detailed.
Yeah,
you know, the guy I was listening to this morning, Richard Dolan, he has some really interesting insight into what's going on around us. So,
all right, stuff. Fair enough, guys. Before we close out, I do want to say there is going to be some changes to the podcast. We're going to get more detail next week, but there is going to be a little bit of a change. Corporate greed has reached out to us and decided to smack us in the mouth, so we'll get into it next week toward the end of the episode. But nonetheless, it is going to be a change, somewhat of a big change to an extent. But we'll talk about it next week. All right, guys. For the Audible Ecstasy Podcast, this is Jimmy.
This is Chris.
This is Anthony.
And this is it.